Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University School of Business. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mark Haas, AEG, Scott Pacheco, and Steve Robbins, Lurch, Early and Brewer. Jeff Morris, Nathaniel Jacobson, and Tim Young, Young Marketing Consulting. We've got a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. Mark, will you please give us the rundown?
Yes, today we have Mary Davis Gangana, CEO, President of DTS Worldwide Transportation, Robert Might, President and CEO of Innovative Management Concepts, Michael O'Neill, Founder and CEO of GetWell Network, and Ian Schuler, CEO of Development Seed.
Well, let's get to know our first guest, Mary Davis Gangana, CEO and President of DTS Worldwide Transportation. Mary, what is DTS Worldwide Transportation?
We are a transportation service located in Spencerville, Maryland, providing transportation.
Mm-hmm. How large or how small is the organization?
We have 78 employees, 43 vehicles.
All right. Where are you from originally?
I am from Lordstown, Ohio.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I'm one of seven.
Where are you in the pecking order?
I am the sixth child.
And tell us, was this like a fancy-dancy neighborhood that you grew up in?
No. Uh-huh. Lordstown is a small 5x5 town in Ohio.
Uh-huh. And you grew up, what kind of house did you grow up in?
We're seven kids, and we grew up in a trailer in Lordstown, Ohio.
Uh-huh. And when we were talking earlier, you mentioned one of your siblings had some medical issues as a kid.
Yes.
How'd that affect you, and what was the medical issue?
My older brother had cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
So the summers we had spent taking care of him.
Mm-hmm.
And
how do you think that affected you? What did that teach you? What did you learn from that?
It taught me responsibility. It taught me caring for my brothers and sisters.
Mark, what question do you out there?
So, Mary, you have friends growing up. What was it about your best friend that made them your best friend? What was their characteristic and their attitude?
So my best friends were my sisters. Being so close and having so many children in the family, they were my inspiration and they were my best friends.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
You mentioned when we talked earlier that you had really busted your butt to change your situation. What motivated you to do that? How did you keep going?
So being poor motivated me to want more for myself and my siblings. That is what had me keep going.
Mm-hmm. Scott?
And you also mentioned that you pick tomatoes and clean houses. And how did that contribute to your sense of responsibility to your family?
Sure. So providing for the family, all of us, getting out at a young age, working at the farm, and you just had to learn to take care of each other and to provide.
Mm-hmm. Stephen?
Yeah, Mary, it sounded like you had a relatively rough upbringing, but also positive experiences. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you also had worked at McDonald's and that there were leadership individuals there that really helped you along the way. Did you end up going to college?
Right. So working at McDonald's, it did teach me not just leadership, but it taught me how to work well with others. I did go to college for 6 months. But I learned most of my education from being a shift manager at McDonald's.
And how does that experience relate to what you're doing today?
So what I do now and how I carry that into my business is my employees, we all work similar like a family. I care about each one of them. They care about us, and we all motivate each other to be better people. and to be the best that we
Steve
can be.
Steve asked you earlier, and it's interesting, you mentioned that you really got your college education working at McDonald's.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, when I was at McDonald's, they taught me, numbers. I was able to see what the figures were for each day. It taught me how to, I was self-educated.
Mm-hmm.
So, working as a team and mm-hmm. providing.
You also mentioned that Steve actually mentioned asked you earlier about how you gave back. How do you give back?
So, I promised myself years ago that when I was able to provide for not just my family but all the employees, that I was able to give back to those who helped. I do work with charitable foundations, and I give back to my employees.
Mm-hmm. So you actually mentioned earlier that you make sure you take care of your employees first, and you tend to pay them more than what's competitive. Why do you do that?
Because I like to see them succeed. Their success is going to be mine. Part of me starting a company was because I want to see things grow, and I like to see them provide for their family.
Read the newspapers. I thought the game was make as much money as you possibly can, but it seems to me that you've got a different priority there, which is, really supporting the community. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Earlier when we were talking, you mentioned one of the reasons, and I think Tim brought it out, that you wanted to be successful was that you could make the family successful or something like that. What was that all
about?
Yeah,
so being one of seven kids, I want to succeed to help them as well, just like my employees. But whatever I do, I always give back to them. I want my family to succeed. I want my family to be happy. Mm-hmm. They're my priority.
Jeff?
What is it about your upbringing that led you to form a transportation company?
So being as poor as we were, one day when I saw a limousine, it was something that you would think that only rich people would be in, or famous people. And I looked at it and I wanted to be in it. So then I thought it was just a thing that I would never be able to have, but mm-hmm. now I have plenty of them.
Mm-hmm. When you worked at that McDonald's, what did you do different than all the other kids?
So when I worked at McDonald's, I took that very serious. I went in every day giving my 150%. I wanted to learn as much as I could. That was my education. So when I went in there, I took charge. I looked at the owners, Sam and Al Cavelli, and I wanted to be them. Mm-hmm. I took every opportunity to learn every position, from the fry cook to, the cleaning crew.
You took a real serious. Scott, what are you thinking?
It sounds like you have a lot of purpose in your leadership style. Is it? Mm-hmm. Is it? And I'm definitely getting the sense that you're not the lady behind the glass CEO type. Has that been an unintentional approach?
No.
Well, as far as being relatable to your employees,
not being the money grubbing
CEO, stereotypical CEO.
It was from the day one. I never wanted to be the CEO that was put in the corner and, hidden from everyone. I wanted everyone to be part of this company mm-hmm. and build it with me.
Jeffrey?
I knew.
Mm-hmm. Jeff?
So given what you said, what is about being the sixth of seven children form your business outlook today?
So I think it started me when I have that many brothers and sisters. I wanted this company to be a family ran company, but not that mom and pop shop. I still wanted to have that. I care about every employee. I care about their children. I nurture them like I was nurtured by my brothers and sisters. They took care of me, and now it's time for me to give back to them.
Stephen, what do you think?
I mean, Mary, going back to your childhood, mm-hmm. While you certainly had to work and make money and do everything that you were talking about, didn't you also have some very positive aspects to your childhood? Weren't you involved in school and a zillion different activities that really made you the person that you are today? Can
sure.
you tell us about that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the activities, I was in track, I was in cross country, I was a cheerleader. Those all helped me form the team feeling. I took charge in those fields, like
so you're really the leader.
I wanted that.
Yeah, she took charge of McDonald's as well as everything she got involved with. Mark?
So what are you most proud about your employees?
What I'm most proud about is that they have the same belief that I do. We all have the make it happen attitude. We all will work together, but whatever it takes to get something done, we will do. Mm-hmm. As a team.
Tim, what are you thinking?
So you're a self-taught CEO, and I'm curious what some of the hardest lessons have been for you to learn.
I think the hardest lesson, one of them, is like was mentioned earlier, I could probably make more money doing other things, paying employees less, but some of it is I have to give my money because of the time that I'm only allowed to spend. I do have two children. I'm a single parent. So it's hard for me to stay long hours. Mm-hmm. So a lot of employees help me.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the competition out there.
Mm-hmm.
Being in this industry,
yeah.
I had to find out what other companies were
exactly.
doing.
Mary, what is the website address for DTS Worldwide Transportation?
DTStransportation.com.
We've been speaking with Mary Davis Kangana, CEO and President of DTS Worldwide Transportation here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Back in a moment, right after this break. Nice interview. And your name is?
Ray Vasquez.
And the name of the organization is?
Vertex 11.
And Ray, how do you go about helping your clients?
I go around by helping them understand the details that are keeping them from being successful.
Like, how do you do that? What kind of stuff do you give them a hand with?
I go in and understand their activities from beginning to end. I've done many of the same jobs myself.
And these are security issues.
These are security issues and risk issues.
Mm-hmm. And where are you from originally?
I was born in Newark and raised in Miami, Florida.
And didn't you tell me that you're first generation?
First generation, my mom came from Cuba on Catholic charity flight, and my dad came from Puerto Rico
uh-huh.
when he was 18.
What did that do to you? I mean, how'd that affect you, mom and dad, both you being the first generation?
I had to learn a lot of growing up by scratch here in this country, you know.
How's that benefit your clients nowadays?
It brings the resourcefulness and creativity to just about any situation I have to encounter.
So when you're working with your clients and you're dealing with different kinds of security issues, the fact that you've had to figure stuff out your whole life actually helps them, because if you hit a weird problem, you're able to help figure it out.
I tell clients that, you know, I know how to do brake jobs and I know how to fix plumbing. And that level of detail is what allows me to get in and find the root cause of a lot of problems.
So when you're dealing with a client, as opposed to you having to call in a bunch of other people to try to figure out the details, you're pretty good at the detail as well as the big picture.
That's right, because I've had to do both.
Uh-huh. Why'd you start your own company?
I found that being an entrepreneur gives me a level of freedom to make choices and decisions and to pursue the American dream, to be honest with you. I mean, mm-hmm. my parents came here. I needed to create the next chapter in that story.
What's the website address?
Vertex11.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Vertex11.com.
And your name again is?
Ray Vasquez.
And the name of the organization is?
Vertex 11.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
Hey, travelers. Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Robert Mite, President and CEO of Innovative Management Concepts. Robert, what is Innovative Management Concepts? What are you guys doing?
We are providing information technology services primarily to the federal government.
Uh-huh. And where are you from originally?
Ohio.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have an older sister, a younger sister, and a younger brother. So there are four of us.
So you're the second of four. And how many different schools did you go to prior to graduating high school?
Six different. Two elementary, four high schools.
Uh-huh. What do you think the effect of that was?
I enjoyed the moving. It was a tremendous asset to me. I learned to really enjoy meeting new people, and I never really regretted.
How's that help you in business?
It makes it very easy for me to get out and meet people. And of course, anytime you're trying to drum up business, that's mm-hmm. important.
And it also sounds like going to six schools that you had to navigate a lot of change. How did that help your approach to running your business now?
Well, I've always enjoyed the change, and therefore, I'm able to navigate a movement very, very quickly. When something happens and you lose a contract, you got an opportunity, you jump on it, very, very easy.
But when you were growing up, you moved around a lot. And when we spoke earlier, you also said that you had basically total freedom from your parents.
Oh, yeah. My parents never, ever said no. They used to work very hard. They gave us a good example. And then they let us make our own decisions. And by moving around, we got to really experience a lot.
So let me ask you that. With the moving around, with somewhat of a lack of continuity because you were constantly moving around and your total freedom, how does this relate to how you run your business?
Well, the total freedom is the most important because I give that to my employees. If I have to micromanage somebody, I don't hire them. I let them go pretty quickly because I learned and I grew up never being micromanaged, and I don't have the time for it, and the people aren't very productive when you do that.
Jeff?
Robert, you spent 20 years in the Air Force. What is it about your father's service that would have led you into that career?
It was his work ethic, and he was very patriotic. He had some really interesting things when he got sent to Vietnam at 47 and flew 360 combat missions. I asked him how he felt, and he says, "That's what they paid me to do. Why wouldn't I go?"
Mm-hmm. Tim?
You know, when we were talking earlier, your positivity just came across so strongly. And I'm curious, though, because you ran into some health problems when you were in your 20s.
Oh, I had something called transverse myelitis. I ended up at Balboa Naval Hospital, paralyzed in the intensive care unit. And I was there for a while. They told me I might walk, I might not walk. And I was fortunate. I was very healthy at that age, was running quite a few miles a day. And I recovered, and I was never really scared during that time, and I think that was just a result of having grown up in a very positive environment.
Mm-hmm. Also, you mentioned at one point in time you were divorced, and we're wondering, what did you learn from that divorce?
You can't be bitter. It took a little while. It wasn't instant, but I think when you finally settle down, realize that it's better for everybody to let it go and get on with your life.
So you know about forgiveness, huh?
You have to.
Uh-huh. Mark?
What brought you comfort as a child, and is that the same kind of thing that brings you comfort today?
My parents, we lived out on a bayou in Florida for 5 years, where the closest friends were a mile and a half, 2 miles away. Had two sets of friends. My parents worked hard. They played hard. They were always there for us, but they always let us do what we wanted. And the whole family's always comfortable. My mother's still alive, and my younger sister's basically her caregiver, even though she's in assisted living. She's there every day helping her.
I have a question about this, being able to do whatever you want. I'm intrigued by this total freedom, especially as a young child, and how that has impacted your life. Did you ever get in trouble?
Oh, no. I got to watch my sister get in trouble. And when she got in trouble, well, the three of us, all of us, learned quite quickly what not to
do. Or did she just cover for you?
No. We just watched, and we just didn't do what she did. They got in trouble, and it worked really well.
Jeffrey?
After leaving the Air Force, you became a full-time professor. That normally two careers would be enough for everybody, but you've chosen a third. You've moved into business. Why is that?
Well, I taught at eight universities as an adjunct and a full-time professor, finally at George Mason. And I love the teaching, but once I got to do research full-time, or probably half-time, I guess is what you'd call it, I found out I liked the research better, and I ended up getting a woman at DARPA that said, I need you to do this research, and you got to do it in 6 months. We couldn't sign the contract. So I had this company I had started for some innovative management things that was sitting there dormant, and so I decided to move that contract, and 2 weeks later we had a contract and slowly grabbed another one and then another one and opened the doors, and it was a kind of an evolution.
Scott, what do you think?
I'm fascinated as well, like Steve was, about the total freedom, but you also had structure. Being a military brat, you had a lot of change, you had health limitations, but you also had a strong work ethic. I think you hear of people having one or the other. How were you able to manage all of the different approaches and experiences that were being thrown at you?
Well, there really was no management. I think the environment I grew up in, it was just natural. I think the work ethic, just you see somebody working like your mom and your dad, and they played hard too. I want to emphasize that. It wasn't just hard. And they weren't disciplinarians. They gave advice. They would say, this would be a good idea, this might be a good idea, but you get to make the decision. And that's you just naturally, it really helps you when you grow up in an environment like
Mark?
That.
Would your three siblings recognize you, knowing how they knew you as a kid?
I feel so. We're all still very close. We get together down at a lake in Georgia quite often. We have reunions, and we see each other. We talk a lot. So, yeah.
Coming from a military background, I'm curious as to where you are today in your IT business. You mentioned that you do predominantly government contracts. Do you do any work for the private sector? And if you do, how do you distinguish between, say, your government contracts work and your private sector work?
It's not difficult. We do some software development for one firm, and we'll occasionally pick up some support work or help desk, but a very minor part, and it's really an accounting issue is all it is.
Do you think it's your background in being a military brat?
Oh, yeah.
Father, and then you.
When I couldn't fly, the Air Force said your left eye's bad. I went into research and development, and I learned all about government contracts. The first contract specialist called me in our office after about 3 months, says, "You're going to go to jail, Bob, but I'm going to keep you out of jail today. But don't you ever do that again." And so I started learning about government contracts from a contract administrator's perspective.
Robert, thinking back to the example of your parents, what other role models did you have, and what did they teach you when you were coming up?
Well, as a youngster, I didn't have a lot of role models other than my parents. But when I got into college, I had a professor that let me go to graduate school. I probably didn't deserve to, but he let me go, and that made a big difference. And I went on and got three different graduate degrees, and I went to his 90th birthday last year. He's a tremendous man, so. Just moving around a lot, some of my dad's friends that were pilots, I got to know them later in life, and they became good friends of mine, even though we were a generation apart.
So you stayed close to a number of people throughout your whole life?
A few people, yes. The ones that I've stayed close to, I've stayed very close to.
How does that affect your building the team?
I'm very close to my people. As a single parent, I knew I had to leave the office a lot of times and just drop stuff. And I tell every one of my employees, if you've got a family issue, any problem, sickness, anything, leave. Go take care of it.
You can depend on your people, don't you?
Oh, I don't like to micromanage. Mm-hmm. It's too much work.
Mm-hmm. So. Scott?
And what do you hope to? What do you hope that your kids pick up from you? What would be one or two things that you really hope they take forward?
That you really have to give your own children freedom to make their decisions when they're young. They make little mistakes when they're young, and they make a lot fewer big mistakes when they're older if they've already learned how to make good decisions.
Wow. What's the website address of Innovative Management Concepts, Robert?
imcva.com.
Let me have that one more time.
imcva.com.
We've been speaking with Robert Might, who's the president and CEO of Innovative Management Concepts here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, it's executiveleadersradio.com. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Oh, nice interview.
Well done. Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need spotonwebsite.com. At spotonwebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. Spotonwebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at spotonwebsite.com.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now.
800-834-4690. 800-834-4690. That's 800-834-4690.
Introducing Sam 76, a revolutionary new beer from Sam Adams that combines refreshment and flavor. It's the perfect union of lager and ale that took over 13,000 hours and 60 different recipes to perfect. Roughly speaking, of course. The end result? Well, it's an easy-to-drink, refreshing beer perfect for every party, event, shindig, or get-together. We could go on, but you'll just have to try it to believe us. Sam 76. Fill your glass. Boston Beer Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Savor the flavor responsibly.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Michael O'Neill, founder and CEO of Get Well Network. Michael, what is Get Well Network?
Get Well Network is a healthcare technology company that works with large healthcare providers across the U.S. and Middle East to help patients be more active in their healthcare journey.
How large or how small is this organization?
We have about 300 purple teammates, as we call them, and about 600
people.
Providers.
And how did you get a job with this company?
Yeah, I actually started the company about 17 years ago.
You started the business. Interesting. Scott.
Michael, where did you grow up and how many siblings did you have?
I grew up in Newburgh, New York, which is in the Hudson Valley, and I'm the middle of five kids over about a 6.5 year period.
And how did being right in the middle impact the way that you developed your leadership style?
You know, when you're a middle child, you have both older brothers showing you the ropes, and you have a little brother and sister who you're trying to show the ropes to. And so it kind of gives you a pretty well-rounded perspective around how to lead and that kind of craft.
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey?
Michael, I understand you had a medical crisis in your 20s. How did that change your outlook?
You know, I was in the middle of grad school. Actually, I thought I was going to graduate with a JD MBA and come out and go back into marketing, where is where I came from. And I had a personal cancer experience, spent a lot of time in surgery and chemotherapy, and it really shaped what I do today.
How did it shape what you're doing today? What are you talking about?
It's going to sound a little bit crazy, but I was sitting in a hospital bed for 11 days at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, staring at a 15-year-old television with a couple of staticky channels on it, trying to figure out what the heck this cancer diagnosis was. And it really woke me up to an idea around how we can use technology to empower patients to be more actively involved in their own care journey.
So you understood the demand. You understood the need because you experienced it personally. How young were you, 8 to 14, when you began to see the market? When you began to see opportunity.
Yeah, interesting. You know, as a kid, it was more around just being enamored. Both my parents were entrepreneurs, so it was more around thinking about doing something that could impact the world. I had no idea what that would be.
What do you mean
until
thinking about how you could impact the world? How young were you when you were thinking this stuff?
You know, my dad was a bit over the top. He'd come home from work every day talking about how he had changed the world through his leadership management
consulting. How young were you when this was going on?
How old was I?
How young were you when your father was talking to you this
way? We were young. From the age of 5, 6, 7 years old, this is kind of the...
And what would he talk to you about?
He would just give us this hubris or this confidence, probably beyond his abilities or ours, that we were on this earth to do something.
And how do you think that affected you?
It was almost like a... expected to lead, you know, just a self-confidence.
Excuse me? Let me have that again?
We just grew up thinking that we should be in leadership roles.
Steven?
And a comfort there.
Well, Michael, it sounds like you were some overachiever. Tell me, well, let's go back to your high school years. What kind of things did you do in school that molded you to the person that you are today?
So we grew up playing a lot of sports. It was a big sports community, so played a lot of basketball. Certainly wasn't the best player on the team. Couldn't jump the highest, but...
Well, let me guess. You were the captain of the team?
So I was the captain. Again, less about the ability, probably more about the coach seeing an opportunity to see someone who kind of rallies people around a cause.
And does that help you today?
It really does. You know, this is very purpose-driven work. Healthcare is a very hard industry, so you got to really want to get after it for a long time to make an impact.
Thinking about some of those difficulties, when do you find yourself doubting yourself?
Being a private equity or venture capital backed business and being in healthcare, there are like 40 times a day that we get incredibly humbled by our owners, by our shareholders, by our customers, by our patients we're trying to serve. So, man, there's more than enough opportunity to be questioning, and you got to pick yourself up and understand that you're at it for a purpose and continue to get after it.
So with the Olympics starting today, Olympic athletes will tell you it's as much about attitude and character as it is their athletic ability. And you mentioned that you're necessarily not the best person on the team. If you had to pick an Olympic sport, what would that be and why?
So I'm racking my brain to think about what appears to be the least athletic need in the Olympics. So I'd probably be a curler because I could actually sit around my brothers, have a few beers, and throw some ice discs across the ice. It's probably be my best shot.
Scott, what do you think?
I think that you were – it sounds like you were always destined to be a founder of a company or a CEO. But when you hit – when you got cancer in your late 20s, how did that kind of shape the direction where you went? I think you mentioned earlier it gave you ideas, but personally and how you relate to people, how did it change you?
Yeah, I guess really bluntly it simply gave me a life focus to just make it better for the next person up. And from a business standpoint...
Give me that again. What was that?
When you get into a cancer experience, it's pretty amazing. You watch how much it impacts people around you. And for some reason, you get at peace with it quicker than the rest of the folks around you. And so when you come to grips with this whole thing, you just want to make it better for the next person up. And so it gave me a focus pretty early on in my cancer journey that said that's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
And how does your business do that?
So my business actually helps to educate, inform, activate patients around their conditions in real time. So instead of getting chewed up by the healthcare system, we kind of put the patient in control by giving them better information at their fingertips.
And where did the money come from to start this business?
A bunch of really trusted friends and families kicking in a dollar or two here and there.
How much money have you raised to date?
We've raised, over $150, $200 million.
Excuse me? You've raised $150 to $200 million. You've raised that. These are people that are trusting you with their money.
Yeah, it kind of goes in waves. It starts with some friends and family and some fools, myself included, and then progresses from there as things
So when things start going wrong, I mean, the bottom line is you got to keep things quiet if things start going wrong. I mean, I read this in the newspapers and litigation and problems all the time. I mean, is that the way you run your business?
You know, we are an embarrassingly transparent crew. It's how I live my life. It's how I am with my brothers and sisters, my parents, my shareholders, my investors, my teammates. And so we kind of laid it all out there. We actually feel like that's what the world needs, that's what our company needs, and it's actually served us quite well.
I just needed you to tell me that. I wasn't sure. I needed to find out. Who's got the next question?
Hey, Michael, after raising what sounds like a tremendous amount of money and huge efforts, how did you make your first buck?
So when I was in grad school, I did student research with a bunch of hospital CEOs in the area. And one of them, after the research came back, said, hey, we'd love to help you make this vision a reality through the research. And so I said, well, it'd be great. If you sign this three-year contract, I had no software, then it would really be helpful. And this guy actually did. And so he became a three-time customer over a 12-year period, and that's how we actually took that contract and went and go raise money off this first contract.
So your nature is to see an opportunity and to keep on building on that opportunity and building on that opportunity and building on that opportunity. You're not one to jump from thing to thing, are you?
No, you know, early in my career, prior to going to grad school, I jumped around three or four different jobs. And, man, you know, once we were woken up to kind of the right purpose in life to go have impact, I have not woken up a single day feeling like I was working, and I haven't had a single chance.
Give me that thing. You woken up to what? Give me that again.
Just this notion of waking up not thinking about doing anything else but the task at hand has been present for 17-plus years now. It's been
And how did you get that focus?
When you're laying in a bed at 28, I just got engaged, and they're telling you this chemo has a 50-50 shot of working. It pretty much puts a centering on what you want to do.
You had just been engaged, and you found this out?
Yeah, I was engaged for 3 months to a little 104-pound Armenian ball of fire, who's my wife today. And so kind of have put it through
your
a couple
wife
early
stuck,
tests.
Your wife stuck with you through this whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know about loyalty and building long-term relationships, don't you, through the course of time?
Mark? I'm very blessed.
So you've been through a lot of different experiences and learned a lot of things. If you're going to give a graduation speech to high school students now, what are the main themes of that?
Yeah, I really think it's, for me, my life, I've just been so grateful to be around people who have taught me authenticity, positivity, and gratitude. And those things for me in my life have been incredibly powerful, both in good times and in bad, to be honest with you. And that's really what I would hope I can impart a little bit of experience sharing to those young kids.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why you feel you were blessed. You had a terrible situation occur, and, you know, give me that again.
I guess through these incredibly poignant human times, like, you find such gratefulness that you have a single day, and it becomes pretty easy, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Next question. Who's got it?
Who do you go to for advice?
So my brothers and sister are my best friends in the world. We literally grew up. It was honestly like a pack of wolves. We did everything together. The neighborhood kids couldn't stand me. Wouldn't play on different teams. It was always us versus them. It was that kind of thing growing up. So they're my best friends in the world. We talk 4 or 5 times a week, and I get a lot of advice from them.
Hey, we're giving you bad advice.
Here we go. Jeffrey?
Yes, you wanted to change the world, and a lot of folks from Georgetown Law do that through public service. But instead, you chose to be an entrepreneur on this healthcare venture. Why is that?
You know, I will tell you one thing about, you know, Georgetown. I would hate for you guys to have my law school transcript in front of you right now. So I barely got through, but I would tell you the community and the work taught me to think about things from 5 different angles. And I knew from the very beginning I didn't belong in the practice of law. I belonged actually learning how to think well and then figuring out what the purpose was in my life. And I happened to, in some cases, again, get lucky by getting sick to really kind of put a focus and focal point on where I want to spend my time.
Wow. Oof. What's the website address of Get Well Network?
It's getwellnetwork.com.
Let me have that one more time.
It's getwellnetwork.com.
We're speaking with Michael O'Neill, founder and CEO of Get Well Network here on Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mark Haas, AEG, Scott Pacheco, and Steve Robbins, Alert Early and Brewer, Jeff Morris, Nathaniel Jacobson, Tim Young, Young Marketing Consulting. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break.
Well done.
And your name is?
Melissa Golding.
And the name of your organization?
Morrison Forster, also known as MOFO.
And what do you do special in this organization?
So I am their director of venture relationships, and I am essentially a super connector.
And what do you do for your clients?
I will introduce them to potential financing sources. I help them expand their network with their peer network and help them meet mentors, create educational programs.
So in this law firm, you're actually providing a value add to the clients in terms of introducing them to different kinds of resources, whether it's other CEOs that have been there, done that, whether it's money, all this kind of stuff. Where are you from originally?
Philadelphia.
And when you were a little girl, like, what kind of personality trait did you have?
I was tough, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Did you like to try to connect people up and help protect your friends and stuff like that?
I mean, I always had a lot of friends, but I was affected by, you know, with civil rights and learning about the Holocaust, and bullying was something that always really bothered me.
What bothered you?
Like if I saw people being singled out on the playground, I tended to be the one to stand up for them.
What's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
Well, I mean, that sent me to law school, so it's empowering.
And how's that affect what you're doing specifically now with your clients?
Yeah, it's. I'm able to leverage MOFO's resources to make sure I can help women in terms of making sure that they're being included in these critical networks with CEOs. I can help them meet mentors. It's just, you know,
so you
I have
really
great resources.
You really want to do what you're doing for a living. This is not just a job for you. This is really a passion.
Oh, I love it. It's who I am.
What do you mean?
You know what? It's not work. I mean, I come.
What's the website address of your organization?
MOFO.com.
Let me have that one more time.
MOFO.com.
And your name again is?
Melissa Goldate.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just $1 a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
800-321-3414.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's 800-711-6812.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Mark Rothman, president of Mita Technologies. Mark, what is Mita Technologies?
We're a technology firm. We provide some of the highest quality IT staff to some of the biggest and most famous companies in the area and the country.
Uh-huh. How large or how small is your organization?
We're relatively small. We're pretty new, about 40 or 50 people, but this is my second time around. I had a company like this that was $30 million in sales that I sold back in 2002.
Uh-huh. So you've done this before. Do you need the work? I mean, are you financially secure?
I might not need to for the money, but there's other reasons I might need to.
Why? Why do you need the work if you're not for financial reasons?
I'm a single dad of two twin four-year-old daughters, and they got to see their dad work, right? And they have a good work ethic as well.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Well, they got to see their dad go to work every day if I want them to feel like the world doesn't owe them something. We live in a nice house in Bethesda, Maryland, and they have to realize that didn't happen by magic.
But on the other hand, you don't have to go to work. You're just trying to set a good example?
Pretty much, yeah.
Uh-huh. Brian, what was your question there?
Yeah, Mark, you talked earlier about sort of your upbringing in Toledo, Ohio, and how your father sort of struggled in sales to make ends meet. And what did you learn from watching your father, and what did you learn about hard work and how that plays in your life now?
Well, I watched him get up and go to work every day, and I watched him never give up. And I've learned not to ever give up.
Mm-hmm. Bob, what do you got there?
In the green room, you told us that you're the youngest of, much the youngest of three children. And so you pretty much grew up on your own. Were there any games that you played by yourself?
By myself? I played a lot of sports. I threw a tennis ball against the wall many, many times. Got pretty good at catching ground balls. I played a lot of games at home. My family played games, my mom and my dad. And a lot of times during the day when they weren't home, I'd play Monopoly against myself and be the car and the shoe or the black and the red checkers.
Against yourself? Did you win or lose?
I had different strategies. You know, one guy would hoard cash and one guy would get properties and one guy wouldn't do anything. We'd see who'd win.
So you're pretty competitive. How does that affect you today?
I'm pretty competitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're like, you keep setting the bar higher and higher for yourself. Gil, what are you thinking?
Mark, you had mentioned that when you were 16, your mom and dad ran and owned a bookstore. And during that time, your dad passed away. Can you share with the audience how that impacted you today?
Well, it was a very sad time. In fact, I've named my company after my parents. The MITA, the first two letters of the first two letters of my dad's name, Myron, and the last two letters are the last two letters of my mom's name, Nita. So it had an impact on me enough that I wanted to honor them to do that. You know, it was a time we had to persevere. I think it helped me persevere in life.
Let's see. Philip, what do you got?
What did you learn from your mom that you take to work every day?
Well, my mom struggled. She came over from England. She was a war bride. And she came over and never really found acceptance here and struggled financially, struggled with my dad's health. And, you know, at the time, being a 10 to 20-year-old male who was competitive, I don't think I was the most compassionate I could have been to her. And looking back is what I've learned. I've learned that, you know, if I had to do it over again, I would have been a lot more compassionate. And I try to be that way to other people now.
Mm-hmm. Mark?
You said when you moved to Florida at age 15, you had a group of friends. Can you tell us about sort of what your role was, what your relationship was with that group?
You know, I had a great group of friends there, actually, better than I did in Toledo. And the best part about it was I was just one of the group. I wasn't the leader of the group. I wasn't the schlub of the group. I was just one of the guys and gals. It was a group of guys and gals. And it was just really comfortable, and it felt really like I was very much accepted.
Lester?
Yeah, why was that so important for you? I mean, you have you're the youngest of three, but and mom and dad were around, and you guys were playing games. Why was acceptance so important?
I grew up in a relatively isolated place, and we were in a very low, not low class, but low middle class place in Toledo, and there weren't a lot of kids around. I spent a lot of time by myself, and moving there, all of a sudden, I had a group of people, and it was just a great feeling.
So how have you leveraged that in how you run your business today?
Well, I try to make people in the company feel that way. We try not to isolate people. We try to make everyone feel like part of the team. You know, we try to help them succeed in every way we know how and make them feel like they're important.
Mm-hmm. Kelly?
So you had mentioned that you got the brother and sister, but they're much older than you. They actually left when you were age four, and so now your family's not doing as well. You're on food stamps. So how did that affect you from the first go around with the first business you had?
Well, we were on food stamps for a small period of time. It wasn't like it was 10 years of food stamps. My dad lost his job, and we did that. But you know, it made me be pretty conservative the first time around. You know, I made sure I watched every penny. Supplies were carefully counted. And we didn't have computers lying around. We didn't have grade A office space. We were a conservative company, and I think that helped us grow and helped us do well.
But when you went through the first, in other words, you sold your company, and what was your goal when you sold the company, again, knowing what your background was?
After I sold the company?
Yeah, from the proceeds from the company. What was your goal?
I made myself financially secure. I put a lot of money away. I built a nice house, though.
You put a lot of money. Why didn't you? Do you have the fanciest house in the neighborhood?
No, not in the neighborhood.
You have the fanciest car in the neighborhood?
No, sir.
Why not?
Well, it's not the most important thing. I have a nice house with a nice car.
What do you mean? What do you mean? It's not the most important thing.
The most important thing, I think, is to take care of the people that you love.
What? Where's that coming from? I don't usually hear that. I mean, you made all this money. I think you should go buy a boat and a Rolls Royce and everything else. No?
I had a boat at one time. It was kind of a pain in the butt.
So you rather spend the time with the people you love and the people you care about. That's what's really important to you.
Especially now I have these two beautiful daughters that I want to spend time with.
Uh-huh. And that's interesting. So that you've built this business and you're financially secure, but you're going to work every day because you want to set a good example for them, which is where you want to spend the time, huh? What's the website address of this organization called MITA?
MITA.com.
And this is named after your parents. We've been speaking with Mark Rothman, president of MITA Technologies, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Liz, can you give us a rundown on who else we've had the opportunity of speaking with today?
Sure. We've had Ahmed Ali, president and founder of Tista Science and Technology. Tony Jimenez, founder, president, and CEO of Microtech. David Parker, regional managing director and market leader of the D.C. region for Colliers International. And Mark Rothman, president, MITA Technologies.
Excellent. I would like to thank my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Brian Chandler, Pretori Law, Mark Haas, AEG, Philip Baker, Citrin Cooperman, Gil Kennedy, Colombo Bank, Bob Cohen, Glass Jacobson, Kelly Campbell, Campbell Wealth Management and Les Smolin from Vistage for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we weren't going to have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today. Do have a nice day, and bye-bye. Oh, man, we nailed that.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.